And I'm ready to hear whatever you have to share and impart with us. And did I mention earlier that we've got some of our favorite peeps sharing some music today? I don't know if I did. I don't think I did. I don't think I did. But here's one of our favorite peeps to share some music right now so that we can take a breath for a couple of minutes to hear whatever Brother Carlos has to impart to us today. And I'll see you on the other side.
Okay, my man.
All right. Here's Sarah.
What you've got to do is finish what you have begun. I don't know just how, but it's not over till you won. When you see a storm is coming, see the lightning part the skies, it's too late to run. There's terror in your eyes. What you do then is remember this old thing you heard me say. It's the storm, not me, that's bound to blow away.
My sister, Sarah Daisy Charles, how awesome. What a talent and what a choice of what to sing today. Oh my God, I am so excited today because as I was saying to my brother Britt, I have been in a place of really being required to practice what I preach. I've been required to stay awake, not to go unconscious, and to remain in faith, to hold the faith, and to never let it go. To know that all of my hopes and dreams and aspirations are on their way. Sometimes patience is a very difficult thing to hold on to for many of us. We have our aspirations, we have our hopes, and our dreams, and we work toward them, toward their manifestation. We hold to the vision. We can see it happening. We can see it occurring. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And that's a good thing to remember as we continue to practice holding on to faith. When what we desire to become manifest remains unmanifest. What we aspire to become visible remains for a while in the realm of invisibility. And many, many times, many of us, we begin with holding to our faith and our aspirations and into the realization of our hopes and dreams with such enthusiasm. In the beginning, we believe that all things are possible and that it is God, Goddess, all that is the Creator's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, the queendom, the moredom, the alldom of our heart's desires. We're like little kids, excited to practice these principles and to bring into manifestation the desires of our heart. Sometimes it takes a while. And as we wait that while, it is sometimes easy to go unconscious to the truth that would set us free, which is that the universe is listening. The universe is conspiring to bless us one by one and name by name. We sometimes allow a little doubt to creep in. Is it possible that I will not have what I dream of having, will not be who I dream of being, and will never do what I dream of doing? This is an indication that we are falling unconscious, that we're nodding off. In those moments, we are asleep in need of rousing. And it's we ourselves who must rouse ourselves. You know, you can only keep your attention focused on any one given thing at a time. And when my faith begins to falter and I begin to go asleep because doubt has crept in, I am being called to remove my focus from that doubt, to place it back on my faith, and to stir up the good spirit that is within me, the spirit of that childlike expectation and that childlike goal and that childlike excitement in knowing it is the Creator's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. One of our scripture records this: be you not weary in your well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. You know, having always had a garden since I was a child, my father had a very large garden. Most people in our financial level of income, if you had any piece of yard at all, it was a good idea to turn it into a garden, because food from the garden was food for the family. That, along with fishing and hunting, were two big deals to allow us, on our income base level, to continue to eat. A garden takes work. I believe we may have touched on that the last time I was there. There are so many invasive species of plants here in this part of Massachusetts where I live. As you drive down the highways, you can see that they have overtaken hundreds and hundreds of trees, hundreds and hundreds of bushes. They're doing their job. I believe we touched on the fact that even when you get rid of them, they return. They are determined. They have faith in what they were born to do. And you better believe they are giving 100% of their attention and their devotion to invading. Fear and doubt creep in when we allow ourselves to become a little less involved in the practice of holding on to faith. I have never read anywhere that holding on to faith is an easy thing to do. It takes work. It takes devotion. It takes willingness. One of my favorite words that I got when I was a kid, that I first heard in the third grade from my teacher. Kids, she said, you have to have stick-to-itiveness. And we say, what did you say? I said, you have to have stick-to-itiveness. Now, it sounded like a foreign word to us, stick-to-itiveness. I didn't know what language it was. Most of us didn't. Said, can you say that slower? And she smiled and said, I would be happy to. Stick to it-iveness. You have to stick to it. You have to stay on purpose. Another scripture says, keep your eye on the prize. Keeping your eye on the prize became a very, very well spread and oft spoken mantra for the people of color back in the 60s. It just seemed like change was happening so slowly. And sometimes it appeared that there would be one step forward and two steps back. But we had to keep believing that a change would come. Not necessarily in a quantum leap, but bit by bit, step by step, unfoldment by unfoldment. And so we would remind ourselves when discouragement crept in, or doubt crept in, or fear crept in. Keep your eye on the prize. I like the scripture that I spoke a bit earlier that said, don't be discouraged. Keep doing the work. Because in due season, you will reap if you faint not. If you don't go unconscious, you know, it's good for me always to remember when I am tempted to believe that anything at all is taking too long to come into manifestation. It's good for me to remember everything is in divine timing, in divine order, and by divine appointment. When I remember that divine timing, divine appointment, divine order, it reminds me that to doubt that is to step out of my own divinity, to step into my humanity, trying that on for size, which generally brings some doubt. But to step in the knowing that I am a child of God and whom God is well pleased, to step into knowing that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen, but that it's coming. Don't get weary. Keep doing the work. Another of my favorite scriptures around this topic is the one that reminds me that it is already done. It brings me back to thinking about my brother Job and all of the trials that he went through. Chuck Fillmore responded when someone spoke the words, let's pray that our money holds out, with no. Let's pray that our faith holds out. Well, this is true about a healing, about a financial blessing, healing of the body, mind, or spirit, or relationships, or whatever. Generally, the universe is kind enough to bring us only one or two tests at a time. I think of Job how many tests. The loss of all of his prosperity, all of his ownings, all of his land, all of his houses, all of his livestock, and the loss of his health. Covered with boils from head to toe, sitting in the sun, in the dirt, rubbing dust over his wounds. He was such a pitiful sight that his wife could barely look at him. It was torturous for him. She tried along with him in the beginning of this plight to have faith, to know that God loves my husband and is sure to bless him. But as the days went on and turned into weeks and turned into months, doubt became the consciousness state that she began to live in. So pained was she. His losses were her own. Not only their land and their cattle and their riches, but their children, one by one and name by name. And now my husband's plight, covered with sores from head to toe. She told him one day, "Job, for goodness sake, why don't you just curse God and die? Get this over with. I mean, this has been going on forever, it seems. And every day there you sit, holding on to faith to the best of your ability. That faith being tested, but you not falling asleep, you continue to walk by faith, one breath at a time. Please, Job, get out of this memory, of this misery, and allow me to get out of this misery. Please curse God and die, for goodness sake." Job's response: "All of my appointed time, I will wait for my change to come." Wow. She must have said, "He's either crazy or he knows something I don't know. All of my appointed time, every day in every way, with every day God gives me, with every hour of that day, with every minute of that hour, with every second of that minute, I will, even diseased, I will wait for my change to come. I will keep my eye on the prize. I will know that it is coming into manifestation. So I will wait with patience. I will need to practice everything I know to do this. This is something I have to do with all of my mind, all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my spirit. I have to give 100% to stay on purpose with holding on to my faith in this situation." I don't know if you've ever been there. I certainly have. Where it took me practicing all of the truth that I know in my heart to be true. The fifth unity principle, after all, it speaks that knowing and understanding the laws of life, also called truth, are just the beginning. I must also live the truth I know. This is where the rubber meets the road. Doing the work to stay on target and to hold on to your faith, no matter what. No matter what appearances come over and come around the corner and hit you from the right or the left, to continue to hold the faith. Give it your all. One of the Course in Miracles statements is, "Be vigilant alone for God and God's kingdom." Let that be where you're vigilant. holding to faith, knowing that it is your Creator's desire to give you the desires of your heart. I know that I told you a couple of decades ago, I believe, about when the time when my now well-grown children, who are parents of their own, that Johnny Earl and I took them on a cross-country tour in our blue van, the same van that we took the choir, New Genesis Choir, at Unity on the Bay. We took them on a few tours, and here we are taking them on a tour. They live in Minnesota. We're going to drive to Minnesota and give them the trip of their life. We're going to the Redwood Forest. We're going to the Grand Canyon. We're going to all the highlights and wonders that that part of our country has to offer. And then we're going to end up in Disney World. I know I told you that from the moment they got in the van, they were not going to Disney World. They were there. In the fullness of their mind, their heart, their body, they were there. And we drove and made many stops and many sleepovers and stayed in many a place and saw many a sight. But wherever we were lodged and whatever we were seeing, they appreciated so much. However, all they could talk about is how awesome Disney World is and what they were going to ride on. There were a couple of missteps on that trip, a couple of times of getting lost, a flat tire or running out of gas. And those kids did not lose their smiles. They were in Disney World. Wow, it was quite a sermon they preached for me that day as I watched them do what I sometimes fail to do. Be where you're going. Know that you have it before it makes its way into manifestation. I have a very good friend who I've had for many decades who I met through Hope Church. Her name is Luann. Luann and her husband, for many years, when the lottery gets very large, decide to buy a ticket. When Powerball gets very large, they buy a Powerball ticket. And when Mega Millions gets very large, they buy one of those. They play the same numbers faithfully. Her husband had as his hobby and semi-job racing cars on a speedway, a local speedway. They played the number of his car, the number of his first best friend's car, and the number of his second best friend's car. They've done this faithfully over at least a dozen years, just faithfully playing those numbers. And you know, all these years, when the numbers are pulled and they are not their numbers, they are not discouraged. Well, this one wasn't it. That one's coming. It's on its way. I'm sure they had some, in fact, she acknowledged that they had some friends over time who said, maybe you should change those numbers. I mean, what are the odds that the numbers are going to get pulled of your car numbers and your two friends' cars number? Maybe you should check out something else. And they were like, no, these are the winners. Well, after all these years, in June, a short while ago, at the end of June, she was put on furlough on her job. The whole team was. And the organization could give them no promise of when or if they would be returning to work. And Luann and her husband, they knew they had to budget and put off some things that they would desire. That was the end of June. The second week of July, when they looked at the numbers, they realized that they didn't have the big win of the 400 million or whatever it was, but they did win $1 million. They didn't treat it as a miracle. They see it as a direct result of their holding on to faith and never letting it go. Let us remember that God itself, the universe itself, is conspiring to bless us. Let us keep that knowing by staying awake to it. Let's already be there. Something in my brain is downloading something from Jonathan Livingston Seagull, a short novel, very short, that became so popular way back in the day and was on the bestseller New York Times list for a long, long time. And if I am correct in my remembrance, there was a question asked. What is the fastest way to get from here to there? I believe the answer was, no, you are there. Be there. Be there before you get there. Just like my kids, already in Disney World, though we were a half of a country away from getting there mile by mile by mile. Hold to your faith. Always believe in your possibilities. There's so many stars, so many celebrities who have told the story of their coming into fame. And what I was left with was this knowing. Why they are called celebrities is because they give us an opportunity and also themselves an opportunity to celebrate themselves for their stick-to-itiveness. They did not give up, though they were tested time and time and time again. Many say people just think I was an overnight success, but I've been at this for 22 years, and now my time has come. I hope that anything at all that I have shared this morning is encouraging to you and inspires you to hold to faith. So be it. Peace and love, everybody.
It's divine timing and divine order by divine appointment. It's divine timing and divine order and by divine appointment. So hold to faith. And don't you let it go. Oh no. God counts on you. When we hold to faith in God, we come to know God's word is true. We come to know that everything God promised, God has done. The victory is won. No need to fear. The substance of the many, many hopes and dreams, the evidence of all the many, many things unseen, has suddenly appeared. It's divine timing. In divine order, by divine appointment. All is divine timing. All is in divine order. And all by divine appointment. Hold to faith. And don't you let it go. Oh no. God in you counts on you. When we hold to faith in God, we come to know God's word is true. We come to know that everything God promised, God has done. The victory is won. No need to fear. The substance of our many, many hopes and dreams, the evidence of all the many, many things unseen, has suddenly appeared. Just look in any mirror, and there you're sure to see you're the one whom faith has freed. All divine timing, in divine order, by divine appointment. Just look in any mirror, and there you're sure to see you're the one whom faith has freed. Time and time and time again. Relax. Let go. Let God be God in you.
Everybody falls sometimes. Gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning.